Father Yahweh, thank you for the beautiful weather. We would love to have more snow underneath it for the visitors who are here in town, but can't knock the sunshine. It's beautiful for January, and we know that although we don't worship the sun or worship your creations as the Creator, we thank you for that beauty. And we ask that as we study your word with Rabbi Bill's help today, that we have your help through the Holy Spirit to come on all of us and on Bill as he teaches us in Yeshua's precious name.
Amen. Thank you. As I've said before, I enjoy giving a lesson because it makes me work a little harder during the week. And I get into the word a little bit deeper. And I do, and so it's a growing process with me. And I want to thank you all for that as far as that's concerned. But I just wanted to start out with, here's something that we're going to be talking about. And the next, I'm going to have three sections of this particular kind of a message. And this tonight is going to be part one. And just to throw this out in the very beginning, I've got a list here of what I call God's wish list for you and me. In other words, what I'm going to be talking about the next three times is basically how does our Lord Yeshua and his Father Yahweh, how do they view us? How do they look at us? Me, we'll talk individually, each one of you, and then collectively is what we call the church and the called out, the ecclesia, the called out ones. In other words, if he were to write a letter to us now, like he did throughout the New Testament for believers, either commending, either agreeing with what we're doing, or maybe even condemning, what would he actually say about our walk? What would he say about our lifestyle? What would he say about the way of life, what we're doing? And the bottom line, the way I look at it is, would he be pleased? Or would he be grieved? Would he have a grieving, sad spirit because of what we're doing and the way we're conducting our life? Now, I've got this God's wish list that I am going to cover the next three times. And the general category that I'm going to talk about tonight is our attitudes, and I've touched on this before, and I just want to reiterate it because it's so important to him. Also, our worship, our prayer life, and our praise, whether we are praising him, and how do we praise him? Then I want to look at God's character and how we can be imitators, how we can be more Christ-like, and some of the things that are important along with that in that line is along with our attitude, and these all fit together. These all fit in, and they all go together. And that's the concept of obedience and trust. Our trust. Who do we trust? Do we trust Yeshua? Do we trust the power of the Holy Spirit, or are we looking? Are we straying away from the truth? And are we maybe falling into some sort of a temptation to follow the wrong leader. So those are the few things that we're going to be talking about this evening. And then in the future, we're going to be talking about love, which is extremely important. And that is love, three categories there, for God, for others, and even loving ourselves. If we don't love ourselves, we can't love any, we will not be able to show that love to somebody else. Now that doesn't mean, you know, that we're going to be all puffed up and that we think we're the greatest thing in the world and that you're better than me or I'm better than you or we're better than somebody else. That's not the love that we're talking about, is it? Then we're going to talk about spiritual growth, maturity. We're going to talk about thankfulness. We're going to talk about changing our life. If there's a problem, we've got to talk about the basic concept of repentance. And of course, that's something that's critical in the very, in our very, the fact that when we become born again, that we have to change. We're changing. We're being renewed. We're being changed, and it's got to be a commitment that we make ourselves. Then we're going to talk about the third section is going to talk about faithfulness. We're going to talk about more gratitude. We talked about thankfulness. We're going to talk about gratitude. We're going to talk about humility, modesty. We're going to talk about patience. And finally, unity, harmony. And what does that unity and harmony provide? I believe it provides joy. I believe it provides us with the ability to be a happy Christian. And then, if we're a happy Christian, people can see that. People can see that, and it's going to be a constructive thing. But let me just go along here and get into this week's section. You can all probably recall that Apostle Paul wrote many of what they called epistles, and they were literally a letter in the New Testament telling the Christians and the people about their sins and shortcomings, but also he offered solutions. And he was teaching the believers how to live for Christ in a corrupt society. Boy, can you imagine it was a corrupt society back in his day? What has things? How has things turned out? Have they gotten better?
It's been corrupt from the beginning.
It's been corrupt from the beginning because of why? Because of Satan. Because of the master of this world. And that's the society that we're living in today. In other words, we must live, here's the secret, we must live with Christ in the center. A blameless, loving life that makes a difference for our Lord. That He can see, that He understands. We should be constantly examining our values in the light of a complete commitment to Him. Complete commitment to Him. I was talking to a gentleman today at the senior citizen place, and I was talking a little bit about some the sports figures, and this Tim Tebow in particular, and he said, yeah. He said, but I wonder, is that how hypocritical how much hypocrisy is there with some of these sports people and some of these people that are front, you know, they're out in front of the public. He says they make a big deal about certain things, and they might do their Christian gestures and so on. But then, at night, where do they go? They go to the casino. They go to the nightclub. You know, in other words, they go back to Sodom and Gomorrah, is what he was saying. And I said, well, I'm afraid you're right. So these are the kind of things we've got to be careful about. We've got to stay away from this hypocrisy. We can't talk one thing, say one thing, and then do something different. We've got to be steady, committed Christians. Today, Bible-believing Christians are splintered into over 20,000 different denominations, sects, and independent churches. Why? I think most of you can probably give me a couple reasons why you think that that is going on.
Divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's the number one strategy.
Exactly.
Good general.
That is what Satan is trying to do. I believe also it's because we've allowed... There's, over the years, the Bible has so many differing translations and interpretations. I mean, we don't use, as far as authority is concerned, I believe that most Christian theologians or those that are writing about Christianity and that are maybe even the evangelical that are traveling, they don't just use the one authority. They don't use the Bible because they talk to so many different kind of people. And people have been so, well, the word that splintered, I love that word splintered, because it you know, I think of a piece of wood that has got all kinds of cracks. And when we think of the master potter, when we think of Yeshua and the creation, when you think about you look at a piece of wood when it's all splintered up, you look at a potter has this perfect pot going, you know. In the very beginning, it's a perfect thing. Although there are some that said, well, we were born into sin and we were, you know, we had to be regenerated. We had to be born again. But that pot is a perfect thing. But over time, when you look at most pots, what happens? They become cracked, don't they?
Cracked.
You got cracked pots. Well, that's a crackpot. That's a different kind of a thing that's taking it a little bit further. But in other words, Yeshua and his father Yahweh was a creator, and he created things perfectly. And then what happened? Pride came along, and he had to throw the angel, the Nephilim. He had to throw old Lucifer out of heaven. And when he did that, bingo. This world has been cracked ever since. I also think that there has been many errors. Some have been honest, some are deceitful, including additions and sometimes and some things that were left out or changed in our Bibles by the human scribes. And I want to refer you to a book called Misquoting Jesus. The author is Bart, B-A-R-T, Ehrman, E-H-R-M-A-N. And that is another, that's going to be another good series. I'm going to be talking about that in the future. And another problem we are confronted with today is today's church is a lot different from the original church and from the church that grew out of Yeshua. Today, the church is primarily interested in growth and in numbers. It's become an obsession. Actually, that's a primary thing with most churches. And when I talk about growth, I don't really mean a mature Christian, a growth of a Christian. I'm talking about just the number of people that may be attending and, of course, contributing to the coffers. We'll go back into church history, and one of the big changes in the growth of Christianity happened after Constantine's edict. It was the Edict of Milan, and in 313 B.C. And there's a lot of different writings about how Constantine changed things, and he actually allowed for freedom of religion back in those days. He didn't make Christianity the primary religion, but he did allow the Christians to worship in their own way.
13 AD or BC?
BC. It was BC, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Who said BC?
Who? What?
Edict of Milan.
The Edict of Milan. That's the Constantine edict that allowed for the Christianity to be practiced.
It would have to be AD.
It was AD. Yeah, it is AD.
Oh, that's why I was so
oh, okay.
Is there a different person
you're right.
There?
You're right. Okay. No, I wrote that down
okay,
right.
Is,
no,
this
it's
is why
yeah.
I was confused.
Sure, okay. Because it was after. Sure. Okay. Forgive me on that, guys.
I'm sorry, I agree.
I'm glad you brought it up. Yeah.
BCAD.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That's after the Common Era or whatever now. That's what, is that the way they call it?
Anno Domini. Oh, Common Era.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah. The thing about it is, the church did not grow in holiness after this particular kind of thing occurred. And the big rage today is having an expensive, extensive recreational complex. You know, you see these mega churches, and they call them family life centers. Well,
it's like all things to all people.
That's the whole thing. People are changing the church. I mean, the concept of worship. And that's not good.
Like St. James, they have everything there. They do Overeater, not Overeaters Anonymous there. They do Boy Scouts there. They do music after school there for kids. They do a food bank there. They do all kinds of extra meetings and stuff. And I'm not saying it's bad, but the church... I have all these mixed emotions.
A lot of times, like for instance, on the Family Channel, they specifically disclaim before the 700 Club.
Yeah.
This show does not express the views of ABC.
I don't like that. Yeah.
So what I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what I think you're responding to is the fact that those other organizations and things like that are sort of associating themselves with the church by having their meetings there.
Oh, sure.
And taking advantage of, you know, inexpensive
rent. I believe you're right. I believe that's
certainly. And the church, but at the same time, the church is able to give back to the community. They're, you know, if you're going to pay for the lights and the heat to be on,
right.
You know,
and,
you might as well have this big building, it might as well be used.
But then we've gotten into this, the early church never had a big building.
Right.
But we've kind of
like we do,
gotten into this syndrome. You have this big building, well then to pay for it, you got to have all this other stuff coming in that isn't necessarily pleasing maybe to Yeshua, or
That's right.
I mean, but it has nothing to do with, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a hard situation, and of course that's the reason that I'm not part of a big church, because I don't agree with all of that, of course.
And
everybody says,
well, we used to be, and then
I
didn't like all the busy stuff that they wanted you to get involved with, like you had to go to this tea or you had to have this, do this, and sometimes, you know, I didn't want to do that. But yet you felt almost...
You feel obligated because they're trying to dominate your social life.
What are you doing? Member.
And then, of course, you get involved in the traditional thing and all of the customs that have come along. And,
And every denomination has a different set of, like, customs or ideas or...
It's not good.
No.
And, of course, that's what they call the... Theologians call that a new era. And we've got to be careful about that. Because the question is, that we ask there, is God changing? Is all of a sudden, does God change? No, we know that that's certainly not true. Is he showering this church now with special blessings, including material prosperity? I mean, hey, you look at some of these guys. Is he doing more healing now? Is he actually conducting more miracles now? I don't think so. I think that most denominations and most of these groups are just plain too worldly. They're too worldly. And they want to change things according to the secular thinking. And that goes along with that...
The traditions of man carry down through. Even the setup of a service comes all the way down to from the Catholic Church.
It's trying to mimic the night of the...
That's right.
Passion and all this.
That's
other
stuff. Right.
Yeah, everything comes down from tradition. And I just never...
So, I'm saying that we are losing our basic obedience and trust in God, because we think we can improve it, we can do better, and so we've got to be careful there. We've got to be very careful. Let us consider the following scriptures when we think about our most important task, our most important job in life, not considering the job that we where we make an income, but I'm talking about our spiritual job, that of pleasing Yahweh and Yeshua and the following disciplines. And I've got these, and now we'll get into our attitudes. And I talked about attitudes last week, or the last time we met, I believe, and we talked about how a person reacts to a particular threat or a particular impetus, and then how do we respond? So those are critical things, and that is in Lana. Would you look up Romans 12? First of all, the reaction thing that I talked about was in Colossians. And Leah, would you look up Colossians 3:12? Mark, would you look up Matthew 5, and it's 1 through 12. What do you have there, Lana, on what kind of response should the reasonable Christian have when he's threatened?
Verses in Romans 12?
Yeah, 1 through 12, Mark.
In Matthew 5.
Matthew.
For the Romans 12.
Romans 12.
Yeah, okay. Romans was 12, and the verse basically was 9, or it's right around
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because my heading there is
okay.
Love. It says, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality.
Okay.
And also says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse.
Mm-hmm.
And so forth. Live in harmony with one another.
Yeah, we've got to be careful about our reaction, because other people are going to pick it up. They're going to notice. They're going to say, hey, yeah, you told me you were a Christian. And you talk all about this kind of thing, about being, a compassionate kind of a person. How about, Leah, did I give you the Colossians 3:12?
Yes.
Right around in that area there.
I'm going to read a couple verses past.
Yes.
They kind of all go on.
Yeah, they go together.
So, put on therefore as Yahweh's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving each other. Any man have a complaint against any, even as the Master forgive you, so also do you. And above all these things, love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of the Messiah rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of the Messiah dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, anthems, and spiritual songs, singing of grace in your hearts to Yahweh.
There you go. We can't read these scriptures enough times. We have to read them over and over and over and over again, because we are attacked day by day. And we have so much junk thrown at us. So many weapons that are directed to us. And when we see the normal reaction, when you see the children unfortunately playing these video games, I mean, it's just that's one of Satan's most deceitful tools, and it just, we know that that's true, don't we?
They broke my Xbox with an update. I can't run it out to my DVD recorder anymore,
okay.
So I can't record my gameplay.
Who broke
so
it?
I can't figure out the games anymore.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
No fair.
Oh.
They did it all because of digital rights management and blocking out.
Oh, okay.
Record Netflix.
Yeah, okay, I see.
Anyway, but you're pointing the finger at me because I have a game console, yes.
It's okay.
How about Matthew 5?
Keeps you out of mischief, I'm sure.
There, Mark.
The passage I'm about to read is commonly referred to as the Beatitudes.
Beatitudes.
It's a really, really important scripture. And I'll be reading it from the New English Translation, the NET. When he, and of course this is Yeshua that they're referring to, when he saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. After he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to teach them by saying, blessed are the poor in spirit,
for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them.
There you go.
Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things about you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, because your reward is great in heaven. For they persecuted the prophets before you in the same way. And I'm thinking of Craig, and I'm thinking of my mom.
Yeah.
And I can't even get through this.
I know. Okay, well, we'll
let that it, was it.
We'll let it stand. 12. We'll let it stand, because that's a powerful thing right there. The thing that we got to think about is, that he set us apart. Yeshua has called us, and he's called us to be different. And we should be imitators of his character, and this Christ likeness is so important. Lana, would you look up some Psalms for me? Psalm 73, 28, and also Psalms 90, verse 1. Jennifer, also Psalm 16, 3, and Proverbs 4, 23. Miranda, could you look up Colossians, in the Colossians, and chapter 1 in Colossians. Leah, Ephesians 1 has a great deal to talk about there. Orphe, 1 Corinthians, chapter 4 and 16. Mark, I've got a couple in Hebrews I'd like you to check for me. Hebrews 6:12 and Hebrews 13:7.
Can you run through that list for us again?
Yeah, the list again.
Okay. Lana, you had the Psalm 73:28.
Okay.
And 90?
One.
One. Jennifer, you had Psalm 16:3. Mm-hmm. And Proverbs 4:23.
Mm-hmm.
Miranda, Colossians, first chapter, and then we'll take some of that out of there. And Leah, Ephesians 1, I believe I said for yes. You. And Porphy, 1 Corinthians 4:16, Mark, two Hebrews 6:12, and 13:7, and then I've got the one in Ephesians as well. But so go ahead, whoever's got something, because they all will tie in together. Lana, do you have?
I've got Psalm 73:28. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds.
Okay.
And Psalm 90, verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations.
You know it. Our dwelling place.
I'm going to read Hebrews 6:11 and 12.
Yes. Yes. Go ahead, get just, that.
Since you give me two, I'll give me an extra chance to look it up. Yeah. But we passionately want each of you to demonstrate the same eagerness for the fulfillment of your hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who, through faith and perseverance, inherit the promises.
Beautiful. Listen to these promises, guys. This is not just little few words here that he's writing. He is including these in a covenant, in a promise. And so that this gives me a lot of hope. He wants to build our faith. He wants to build up our hope, you know. And he says, hey, listen to this, guys. How wonderful this is.
Okay. Psalm 16. And just the one verse?
Well, no. You look at it and just there's more to it than that. Psalms 16:3. Is that what you were looking at?
But to the saints that are in the earth and to the excellent in whom
saints.
Whom mm-hmm. is all my delight. And I like verse 5, the mm-hmm. Lord is the portion of mine inheritance mm-hmm. and my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a goodly heritage.
Oh, boy. Then you've got Proverbs 4.
Oh, I have that.
Yeah, right around 23.
Keep thy heart with diligence for outweigh. Is that right? Yes. Okay. The two columns of my Bible are two different versions, and sometimes I forget where I am. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
I've got something here in Ephesians. Starts out with Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, one, starting with verse 1, and it says, be imitators of Yahweh. Therefore, as dearly beloved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us, gave himself up for us as fragrant offering, and a sacrifice to his Father. And it goes on. This is a wonderful chapter. I won't read it at all. But in chapter and verse 15, be very careful how you live. Not unwisely, but wisely. Making the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil. Wow, the days were evil back in those days. This was written. And they're still evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And we understand what the Lord's will is because he's talking to us. He says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery and sin. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Yeshua. And then it also says, submit to one another. And of course, that's all part of this love and this respect that we should have for each other. Colossians. What do you see there in that Colossians, that first? Do you see something there that talks about being Christ-like or imitators or having a good character? All these letters have advice, and it talks about the way that we should be walking.
Colossians, first chapter, verse 3. Mm-hmm. We give thanks to Yahweh, the Father of our Master Yeshua and Messiah, praying always for you, having heard of your faith in Messiah Yeshua and of the love which you have toward all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in the heavens, of which you heard before in the word of truth of good tidings,
mm-hmm.
which has come to you, even as it is all also in the world, bearing fruit and increasing, as in you also, since the day you heard and knew the grace of Elohim in truth, even as you learned of
Epaphras.
Oh yeah, there's some of those names are tough.
I always say I'm going to apologize to him later.
That's it. That's about it.
Our beloved fellow servant, who is faithful minister of the Messiah on our behalf, who is declared to us your love in the Spirit.
He always goes along and talks about his helpers, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. And people that he's associating with. So that's important, to be associating with people that are they understand the word, and that they want to read the word, and they want to use the word, rather than somebody that's continually being negative, tearing it down, and talking about, oh, these hypocritic Christians, you know. Well, I don't want to associate with people like that. And we don't have to. What did you find there in Ephesians? Okay, what do you? Okay.
First Corinthians.
Yes, First Corinthians chapter 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I beseech you, therefore, be imitators of me.
There you go.
For this cause have I sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful child in Yahweh, who shall put you in remembrance of my ways, which are in the Messiah, even as I teach everywhere in every assembly. Now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly if Yahweh will, and I will know not the word of them that are puffed up, but the power. Mm-hmm. For the kingdom of Yahweh is not in word, but in power. Mm-hmm. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness?
Mm-hmm. There you go. In other words, and we'll talk about that. We'll always talk about being humble and being meek, and the promises for the humble and the meek. The Lord doesn't say, "Hey, he is this rich guy, and this guy that's the president, he's going to be rewarded." No. Does not say that rich guys can't be rewarded or the president can't be rewarded. But generally speaking, he's looking at a normal, regular person who's been endowed with gifts, and he's got things that he can share, always share. What do you got there is it Ephesians?
Ephesians 1.
Yeah.
Starting in verse. Blessed be the Elm, the Father of our Savior, Yeshua the Messiah, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places.
There you go.
In the Messiah, even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love, having ordained us to adoption and sons through Yeshua the Messiah to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will,
mm-hmm.
to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to bound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed him to dispensation of the fullness of the times, to sum up all things in the Messiah, the things in the heaven and the things upon the earth, to him I say.
Beautiful. The last things we want to talk about, we combine them with worship and prayer, an everyday thing, praying unceasingly, and praise.
In Hebrews...
he loves... Yeah, the Hebrews 13, 6... Yeah, 7, you got 6 and 13, don't you?
Yeah, in Hebrews 13, verse 7. I'm going to actually read verse 8 too, because it,
yes,
it's
Hebrews what?
Hebrews 13.
13, 7 and 7, 8.
And I'm also going to read verse 8. 7 reminds me of Craig again. Remember your leaders who spoke God's message to you. Reflect on the outcome of their lives and imitate their faith. And so we have no idea how many people that Craig was able to bring to Yeshua.
That's right.
And then verse 8, we were talking about this before, is God different? Does he change? Hmm. Here's the answer. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today,
yes,
and forever.
That's right. And that question, is he happy with the way that we're worshiping and with the way that we are conducting our lives? That's the important thing that we've got to look at. 6:12, did you do anything with
it? We read that one already.
Okay, you already did that one.
Yeah,
okay, good. Okay, great. Okay. Okay, let's look up a few more verses and we'll call it an evening. We're talking about worship. And that's what this is. This is a worship meeting. I consider this a worship meeting. You know, it's just not a get-together. It's just not a time that we say, oh, I've got to go to a meeting. No. Our Lord just loves this kind of thing. When we're talking about Him, and when we're trying to get our ducks in a row here, we're trying to understand what is pleasing to Him, what He wants us to do, how He wants us to live. Let's look up, Jennifer, Psalms 46, 10. Lana, Acts 19, 23 through 41 on that. And in conjunction with worship, I consider prayer a very important part of that. And Leah, Psalms 3, 4. Miranda, you got a psalm? You got one there? Would you do Psalm 55, 22? Mark, Psalms 150. Verse 6, right in that area. And also Psalm 102, 17, Mark. Go ahead, whoever has one of those ready.
Psalms 46, 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth.
Beautiful. He's exalted, man. That's what that's what we're in the business of doing. Exalting Him. Lifting Him up.
I'm going to read the whole Psalm 150. Praise
yeah.
the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary.
Yes.
Praise
yes.
Him in the sky,
yes.
which
Praise
testifies
him.
To His strength.
Praise Him.
Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness.
Yes.
Praise Him with the blast of the horn. Praise Him with the lyre and the harp. Praise Him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and the flute.
Yes.
Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clanging cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise Yahweh. Praise
mm-hmm.
Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. I wish we had some music. I wish somebody here played some music. Maybe we should pray about having someone that's a musician join us.
I always put on one or two of Alyssa's tracks too.
Yeah,
we have them
yes.
on the player.
We probably. I think that would be a wonderful idea.
So.
Go ahead, who else? Lana.
Sorry, I got out of control.
Acts 19.
Yeah, Acts 19 is starting with about verse 23. Does it talk about worship?
No.
There? It doesn't.
No.
What's it talking about?
The riot in Ephesus.
Oh, that's no good. I must.
You paid that.
I like that.
Let's forget that.
Well,
I was a little
confused. You know, praise, having a riot, you know.
Yeah, just, yeah, it all goes together, right?
Having a riot.
Oh, goodness.
No, that's never mind. That's
not. Lana, would you do Ephesians 6 instead? Ephesians 6, 18.
I'm confused. What has this got to do?
Who else has got something over here?
I got Psalms 3, verse 4.
Yes.
It says, I cry to Yahweh with my voice, and he answers me out of his holy hill.
Oh, yes, he will.
Miranda got Psalms 55:22.
55:22, yeah.
Cast your burden upon Yahweh, and he will sustain you. He will never permit your righteousness to be moved.
There you go.
Psalm 102, starting in 15, actually going through 17.
Mm-hmm.
The nations will respect the reputation of Yahweh, and all the kings of the earth will respect his splendor. When Yahweh rebuilds Zion and reveals his splendor, when he responds to the prayer of the destitute and does not reject their request.
Mm. He'll never reject us. He will never turn away from us whenever we come to him. So, that doesn't mean that he's going to instantly give you something. It may take a while, and you know that. We've got to be patient. We've got to be patient because he's got a plan. Yes,
Lana? I just wondered what verse you wanted.
Ephesians 6, 18. I think.
Okay.
What does that say? They better not say anything about a riot.
Oh, goodness. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints.
There you go. He wants to hear our requests. You know, he does. He wants to please us. He wants to help take care of us. He wants us to trust him and to believe that he is going to take care of us. Is there any more on that particular thing? I think. Oh, okay. My last one, Matthew 19. I've got that. And we're right about in. Let's see. Well. This is Jesus speaking to the rich young man here. And he says, the young man comes up to Yeshua and says, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? And this goes back to the basics, because we always got to talk about basics, guys. He says, why do you ask me about what is good, Jesus, or Yeshua replied? There's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. And it goes on to give an explanation about murder and adultery and stealing. Do not give false testimony. Honor your mom and dad. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that's tough, guys. We know that.
Oh, yes.
But throughout, you can just go through.
It's each. Not hard if you think of yourself as you're the neighbor to him, and he's got to love you back.
Yeah.
But he doesn't.
Yeah. How in the world are you going to get that guy to love me?
This is like free speech. This is like free speech. It's easy to love those who are easy to love.
Yeah,
but some
people
are difficult to love, and you have to love them anyway. And
they might see.
It's just like free speech.
I mean,
free speech is designed to protect speech you don't want to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, there you go. That's the truth now.
Stop arguing with that guy. He's arrogant. Don't even listen to him.
I know.
I go, it makes me so mad.
Oh man,
this is the kind of strife that makes. It's obvious that wars are never going to be solved by human effort, ever.
No.
And so,
that's right.
When I encounter people here that are on, you know, parts of these peace movements, and why don't we just get rid of the Defense Department and all this other stuff? It's just like, boy, how far back do I have to start to explain this to you? But, oh well.
human nature is a tough thing, and that's what the nature of sin is, and that's why we need the grace of Yeshua and his saving power.
That's right.
There's no other way.
And we've got to be imitated. Look what he did to forgive us. Look what he went through.
Yeah.
You know, that's the great sacrifice.
Woo-hoo.
We didn't... Okay, I want to end up with praise. A little bit of praise here. Jennifer, Psalm 50. Lana, Exodus 15. On that 50, it's verse 7 through 15 on that.
Okay.
Psalms. Exodus verse 2. Mark, 1 Chronicles. Way back there. 1 Chronicles 16. I believe it's 4 through 8, if I'm not mistaken on that. We're going to end up on praise because I think that praise is so important. And we should be constantly praising. Yes, go ahead.
Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings, to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor the he-goats out of the folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills.
Mm-hmm. Remember, the old covenant was always sacrifice, you know, blood sacrifice. Of course, that's changed somewhat completely, as a matter of fact, not just somewhat. And so, what did I give you... Lana, Exodus. Was there something in Exodus?
Exodus 15:2.
Is it look? Is it? Is there something in there that that looks like it's
like a riot?
Yeah,
it's not a riot.
Yeah. How does that start out with?
The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him.
So important, exalting, as I said before. And Mark, that First Chronicles?
First Chronicles, at the beginning of chapter 16, they're talking about where David's first putting the Ark of the Covenant into the tabernacle that he made for it.
Yes.
And so it describes the priest who was actually above Zechariah. And starting with verse 7,
mm-hmm.
that day David first gave to Asaph and his colleagues this song of thanks to the Lord.
Hmm.
Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. And of course, the Lord there is capitalized. So this is give thanks to Yahweh. Call on His name, Yahweh. Make known His accomplishments among the nations. Sing to Him. Make music to Him. Tell about all His miraculous deeds. Boast about His holy name.
There
Let the hearts of those who seek Yahweh rejoice. Seek Yahweh in the strength He gives. Seek His presence continually. Recall the miraculous deeds He performed, His mighty acts and the judgments He decreed. O children of Israel, God's servant, you descendants of Jacob, God's chosen ones.
Mm-hmm.
He is the Yahweh, our God. He carries out judgment throughout the earth.
You know, the Psalms, there's so much praise in the Psalms. You can read just about any psalm. Psalm 119 is a wonderful one. It's a long psalm. But yes, it's just full of it. You know, here in Psalm 119 at 97, it says, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser. I have even more insight than my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have become more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts." I have, and this is what we have to watch out for. This is the thing we should be concentrating on. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I may obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. And we know when we are on the wrong path. The Holy Spirit will speak to us. We will be warned. And it's up to us to follow that right path.
But it's hard because we thought we were on the right path.
Oh, definitely. It's very hard. It's, yeah.
Every Muslim in the world thinks they're on the right path. Every Hindu in the world thinks they're on the right path. That's why it's so important for us to witness to people of other faiths, especially, you know, what they call the works-based religions, where you're trying to work your way to
get to God. That's right. We're trying to impress him, yeah.
And it's not going to happen that way. It's very frustrating. There was a really neat short on GLC where the guy was talking about a hospital, and a Muslim doctor was saved after he observed that all of the Christians that died in his hospital had smiles on their faces.
Yeah.
And all of the Muslims that were dying and near death were terrified. Mm-hmm. And you know, what's wrong with this picture? He was wise enough to ask and investigated it. And if you grew up in a culture, like I did in a different church,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be exposed to that. And that church is going to tell you that everybody else is wrong in mm-hmm. order to make them right. And one of the most fascinating things to me about my study of theology over the past 30 years is that the church, the Catholic or the Christian church, that the Catholics were most adamantly against was the Seventh-day Adventist. And guess who doctrinally probably is closest to Scripture of any of them?
Mm-hmm.
The Seventh-day Adventist.
That's right.
Now, every church has its problems and is wrong about something, and this
yes.
is something that I'm working on, Bill, that we're going to try and get on the website, is our mission statement and our explanation to people of what our church is about. We're non-denominational because we don't believe in these 20,000 splits and sects and churches. We welcome everyone who wants to know Yeshua and His Father Yahweh and the Holy Spirit that binds us all together. And so,
well, it's been so splintered because man has tried to improve upon it. And he's trying to improve on a simple lifestyle that's the way it began and that's the way it should be. And we've just turned into a mega type of a deal that's been contaminated and polluted throughout the ages. And people are... That's right. People are brainwashed, basically. They have been attacked. And this thing has been repeated over the years by so many groups. And so that they think that our little group is a cult. Because you guys are not going along with the world. You guys are not following the majority. You guys are not... Where did all you guys go to school? Did you go to Dallas Theological Seminary? No,
yeah,
you don't need to go.
I was told that. Well, you don't know what you're talking about. What seminary did you go to?
Oh, definitely.
Well, I just read God's Word.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the simple truth. We'll end up on that, the simple truth.
That was one of the discussions that me and the Mormon elders got into. And they actually harped on for several weeks was this idea of authority.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're claiming authority, you know, through Joseph Smith and his visions
mm-hmm.
with nothing to back it up. I mean, we've got the strength of 500 witnesses that saw Yeshua back alive again.
Sure.
And they try and inject... You were talking about the differences in scriptures, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are they going to change little things and take away little things,
yeah.
Joseph Smith added
many, many, many chapters,
yes,
and verses worth of information to the King James Version of the Bible. And so traditions are not, they're okay when you're singing about them in The Fiddler on the Roof. But I just love that song.
Well, there's warnings about that business, about adding and subtracting and taking things out of the Word and trying to. And I warn anyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in the book. And if anyone takes words away from the book of this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share and the tree of life in the holy city. Yeah. Oh, that would be devastating.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
We don't want to tempt him. No. Let us close. Let's stand and close. Thank you, brother. Jennifer, would you close us in prayer today, please?
Father, we thank you so much for bringing us all together. And we appreciate the teaching that you're giving us tonight. And please let it find a way into our hearts and minds, mm-hmm, and abide with us. Help us to just abide with you tonight and tomorrow, as is your Sabbath. And we pray for those who aren't here tonight, that you'll bless them and keep, mm-hmm, them, Lord. And those who are ill. And we just lift up the prayer request to you, Lord, that you'll hear our prayers and answer our hearts even beyond what we could imagine. And we just place these individuals before you and these needs before you as you heard us mention them. And please keep us safe throughout the next week.
Yes.
And preserve us and sanctify us and give us your peace. In Yeshua's holy name, amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. Amen.